Lawrence Prospera is a community-driven, nonprofit organization committed to our mission of strengthening the individuals and families of Lawrence, Massachusetts through the development of thriving neighborhoods. CISU presents Hola, Honest Opinions with the Lawrence Attitude.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. We have an extra special guest for you today. Film editor, / director, audio engineer, meets producer, musician, / rapper, and project manager. Ladies and gentlemen, Starlin Hidalgo, a.k.a. Starlin the Kid, does it all. Starlin, I'm sure you have a lot on your plate these days. So without further ado, let's jump into these questions. When did your family migrate to the United States?
I came to the United States with my family in 2008. I was born and raised in the Dominican Republic, and my dad came to the States in 2002 when I was very young. And it wasn't until 2008 I was able to come with my mom and my sister and like start up a new life, which is very challenging and difficult. But in many ways, it was a blessing in itself. And I had no idea how many doors would open up for me here. So it was definitely an adjustment with a lot of reward later down the line.
Definitely. It must have been very struggling with the language barrier and the culture.
Definitely.
So where's your family from in the Dominican Republic?
My family's from Santiago, Santiago de los Caballeros. That's where I was born, but like my parents, our families are from Puerto Plata.
Puerto Plata. Isn't that a vacational destination for a lot of tourists?
It is. It is one. It is one of the most popular hotspots for vacations, certainly.
I hope to visit the Dominican Republic. I only hear positive things. So tell me, how did you manage to adjust when you first arrived, when you guys first, you know, you and your family, how did you manage to, adapt to the culture, the language as a whole? You can, you know, whatever you want to share with us.
Yeah, no, it was very challenging. I would say even to this day, it's still very challenging, you know, because it's one of those things that I think, culture and like, you know, the way you think, the way you speak, just a lot of those habits that you are born with, but accustomed to.
Yes.
A lot of it, you know, it's different from when you're a young child, you know, and still in your most critical developmental stages of life versus when you're a full grown adult, you know, like my parents' case, you know, late 30s or 40s, you know. So mm-hmm. I definitely know our experiences were different in that sense, but definitely extremely similar. For me, the language barrier was very, very hard at first. I actually picked up English, people told me, pretty fast. Like within the first year.
Oh, wow.
That's
fast.
You know, I was already like speaking and like comprehending pretty well. You know, I mean, I took ESL classes for many years, and going to Lawrence Family Development Charter School really helped me and excel my comprehension of the language further, you know. I had a lot of support from the teachers, you know, after school programs, and I'm a natural learner at heart, I think, so I work extra hard to just, I'll never leave my desk or leave an environment until it fully makes sense to me, you know, or until I feel like I've mastered it. So I was very relentless in that way, because I guess inherently I understood. I was young, so I didn't fully understand, but I had a very good idea of how much exactly my parents had to give up, you know, to just be here, you know, be in this country and like get us here. So to me, it's like I've always grew up with that on my shoulders. I guess in a way, it's like a lot of pressure for a young, you know, 10-year-old to to live with that. And I think most 10-year-olds probably don't have to live with that. But it definitely made me a stronger person and more resilient and, you know, in everything I do. So I really wasn't willing to give up an opportunity that I know my parents have worked extremely hard for. And also, you know, luck, because let's face it, a lot of people don't have that type of luck, you know, to just pick up and go. Not that they picked up and go, you know, but, you know, in the visa process or, you know, there's a lot of money that's involved, a lot of time, a lot of,
yes,
you know, a lot of hard nights, hard days, you know, being away from your family. And then when you're here adjusting to a completely different culture where people live very fast paced lives and, you know, everyone's kind of like in their own little bubble and their own little niche and not as communal and open. And I don't know. I like to compare it to how, like, if you've ever been to the South, you know, the southern
yes,
states are very
yes.
different from the northern states, especially the
Correct,
East Coast.
Yes.
Or even the West Coast, right? Like, people are a lot more welcoming and people say hello to each other and they say, you know, they look at each other in the eyes when you're walking
more
by.
More friendly.
Like, yeah, way more friendly. So, you know, a lot of those little things, you know, going from having that to, in a sense of community and neighborhood, to being a little bit more secluded and isolated was definitely
yes.
challenging.
I can only imagine, especially coming from an island where it's open doors, different, you know, weather.
I still haven't gotten over the weather, and I'm
I can
never
only
going
imagine.
To.
Yeah. So, you guys first, when you guys first arrived, did you guys arrive to Lawrence, Massachusetts, or did you?
Yeah. We didn't necessarily explore other states. We did not. We came. We went to New York directly from the Dominican Republic. Just cause I have some family there, and we stayed with them for a couple.
May I ask where in New York?
In the Bronx. We went directly to New York and kind of spent a couple of days, a couple of weeks with my family there, and then we came to Lawrence, which is where my dad was living, and you know that's where my dad's side of the family still lives. So. That's kind of where we set base. But yeah, that's kind of how it happened.
Well, that sounds like a journey, overall, and an experience in itself. So based on your experience growing up, what advice might you give to our young adults growing up here in Lawrence just being young in this day and age, currently facing challenges such as, you know, gangs, mental health, homelessness, and poverty, based on your experience when you were growing up?
Yeah, I would say, you know, growing up in Lawrence taught me a lot. But I like to say, you know, growing up and actually leaving Lawrence taught me even more about what living in that space did for me. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, you ever hear the saying, like, you never really understand what you have until you don't have it anymore?
Yes, I sure have.
It's, you know, and not that I don't have it anymore, right? Like, but it never really sinks in until that happens. And that was very true for me. So growing up and like seeing a lot of the hardships going on and the challenges, you know, because I was so saturated in that environment, right? Like, that is all I knew, all I lived for. Like, I didn't really have a bigger perspective of the world until, you know, you travel, you go to school, you know, school outside of there. And then in retrospect, understand how all these experiences make you who you are. So something that I would advise to young adults like me and, you know, teenagers and people really in these transitional stages of life is, you know, there's nothing more important than finding your purpose, whatever that might be. And it sounds so simple yet so daunting, but it really is something
yes.
so heavy that takes a lot of time, a lot of reflection, and it doesn't happen overnight. you know, I think this stage of life is when one where I've learned you kind of have to fend for yourself and really take a step back and understand what you want out of life and how you can incorporate the lessons that you've learned and picked up throughout the years into your everyday interactions and everything that you do. So I'd say, yeah, just finding your purpose, whatever that might be. Do not underestimate hobbies or passions because you never know what they can turn into. For me, I always knew that from a young age, you know, like art was my thing. Once I started painting when I was 6 years old, like, you know, it just spread like wildfire from there. I really just needed resources, which, you know, living in Lawrence was at the time when I was younger, it was challenging, you know, it was limited. And, you know, we are a low income, predominantly Hispanic community, you know. So there's a lot of challenges that come with that, but it's definitely possible. And just branching out, just learning what makes you tick and learning more about yourself, more about others. Don't be afraid to say yes to opportunities just because they seem, you know, out there or new, or, you know, say yes. Definitely learn how to balance, live a balanced life.
Yeah.
But definitely explore.
Yes, I agree with you. And stepping out of your comfort zone, I feel, is something that it's something that we should all do, because it just challenges you to a whole different, goals in life. And you might discover something that you didn't know about yourself prior to that, you stepping out of your comfort zone. And a lot of people that I've noticed working here in Lawrence is that they tend to seclude themselves in this bubble of Lawrence and don't seem to open up their mind to other ideas or other places. So I think that you're right on, you know, right on the money with that, with them telling, you know, with the advices of stepping out, saying yes to open opportunities. But growing up, did you have any hobbies? I know you mentioned that you did. You like art. Were you involved in any programs, any community activities that you can recall and say, wow, this helped me in some form of way?
Yeah. I would say to your last point also, though, I've understood, you know, I was a sociology major in college, and I think part of my reflection is just based off of that. But I've also realized that, you know, there's things that are internal and external, and things that people have control over and that they don't. So a lot of the times, like, you know, being in this bubble, like you mentioned, it's, you know, sometimes it's beyond people's power, like, you know, what they have power over. But it's definitely, I think it's worth always pushing yourself in whatever way you think you can, you know, to explore and to seek something.
I agree.
Bigger, you know, and it's just to learn, just literally for the love of learning, for the sake of learning.
Yes.
And experimenting. For me, growing up, I got involved in the YMCA after school. You know, that's like when I was 11, 12 years old, that's when I started, like, playing around with music and discovering my love for making music. And that was somewhere for me. I used to go to some after-school programs there where I learned how to just, you know, make beats, like, use Reason, record, you know. I was between 10 and 12 years old. Like, I was already in my home computer, like, writing songs and, like, recording and you know, just,
oh wow,
things like that helped me a lot. In middle school, I know the Lawrence Family Development Charter School had a after school program for music with the Phillips Academy. The music classes were very, and the art classes were very critical for me, which is what I had access to, you know. I wasn't Picasso out here, you know, taking like full out courses and like Boston Conservatory or anything. But, you know, I took advantage of what I did have, right? Like what was accessible to me. I took classes at the Essex Art Center, you know, ceramics, pottery, that sort of stuff that I had been involved in from a couple summer programs. And I kind of wanted, you know, my dad and my mom were nice enough to, you know, kind of sacrifice and you know, bring me to some of these after school programs. Sometimes there were like startup fees and, you know, seeing whatever way we could scrape to still provide that opportunity for me.
That's awesome.
And kind of build my craft over the years, you know, because those are, I've realized that those are extremely important pieces of our most developmental stages.
Yes.
Because those moments when you're growing up, even though we don't think about it much, I think in the moment, as we do in retrospect, those are the seeds, you know. Once you plant a seed, it's like an idea, right? Like once you plant a seed, once you plant an idea in someone's, you know, in someone's consciousness, like you never know where that's going to go.
That's right.
That can explode. And, you know, as long as you maintain it over the years. So, yeah, I, you know, went to summer programs at the University of New Hampshire. When I got to high school and the summer programs, you know, I went to a summer program once also at Phillips Academy in Exeter, New Hampshire, where, you know, I got to try theater there and pottery.
Nice.
You know, so.
It sounds like you stayed focused throughout your youth and younger days.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I just kind of went for what I felt called to do, you know, what made me feel alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I picked up piano when I was in middle school. And then just,
beautiful.
So, you know, started teaching myself. And from there, like, that's when I felt inclined to, I learned about the YMCA, went to take a couple, you know, audio engineering courses, music production courses, things like that, you know. And kind of learn more about the craft that I was interested in, you know. And then in high school, I took actual like piano classes and expanded on my skills and, you know, went about making my own projects, you know, mixtape, singles, you know, collaborating with other artists in the community. A lot of this stuff you just learn. You just gotta learn on the field, you know. You ever hear that term? You gotta do it in order to learn it.
Yes, yes, hands on. So what inspired you to go into the film industry, or show business, I should say?
Yeah, no, the film. So I'd say towards the end of my high school career, I really started looking into film heavily. The summer after I graduated, I made my first short film, Heritage, which was kind of like an homage to, you know, celebrating and honoring my culture, understanding where I come from, you know, in the Dominican Republic, and like reflecting on a recent trip that I had done and how that ties into my identity and who I am,
mm-hmm.
who I'm becoming, and who I will always be, right?
Yes.
That planted another seed, I would say, because I realized through doing that film, I realized how filmmaking was a way for me to utilize all the different artistic skills and all the other mediums I had picked up over the years and that I've experimented with, and kind of fit it all into this one artistic practice. From there, I've always loved movies growing up, you know, but I never really started taking it seriously, I would say, until I got to college, as a career, you know?
Yes.
So that allowed me to, you know, I declared my film video minor. I went to Providence College in Providence, Rhode Island. It's a small liberal arts school, so definitely not an art school, but it was, you know, it was what I was blessed with, and I made my time there work, and work for my benefit, and, you know, kind of pick up classes and majors and minors that reflected what I was interested in and what I would want to do in the future. So taking those courses in film inspired me to take it seriously as like, I can make a living out of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say my main inspiration is, you know, a lot of people talk about you know, these idols or that might be their inspiration, and then they want to kind of take off after someone else. But I would say for me, what always inspires me and my projects is just my loved ones, you know, my community, you know, where I come from. My goal in going into this industry is just to tell underrepresented stories in a relatable but a compelling way.
Okay.
You know, I want to challenge people in the world to think differently, to learn about a culture, a community, life experiences that they have not been exposed to. A lot of my work has been influenced by my own experience as an immigrant in this country, right?
Yes.
And I think the theme of self-identity and searching and that quest for identity in the most transitional phases of life. So that's where I draw my inspiration because I know what I do. I don't do it for myself, solely for myself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do it for, you know, the biggest title, the most amount of money. You don't go into this business for money, let me tell you.
I can only imagine.
It's a lot of hard work. It's very tedious. It's a lot of no. Especially starting up when you're doing all these indie projects.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of recruiting money, super late nights.
Uh-huh.
You do it because you love it. And you do it because you love the art of storytelling.
Yes.
And that's what moves us. That's what moves me. That has always moved me and will always move me, you know, till the last day I live. So
Okay. Just
standing up for my people, you know.
And it sounds like you're very passionate about it. So, you know, I wish you many, many blessings in the industry. And hopefully you get, you know, a hit film, which is the ultimate goal, I would say, when you're in that business that you want. Maybe to, a Sundance Festival or a movie festival. And it gets, you know, you never know.
Yeah, you never know. You know, I hope so.
I
want to touch people's hearts, you know, and that's my priority. So
I love it. From what it sounds, you will, or you are doing so, you know, you're in that process. What projects are you currently working on, if I may ask, in respect to film?
Yeah, I am. I've been doing a lot of commission work lately, you know, just music videos, working a lot of on movie sets, big productions lately. So my time has definitely been very limited. But in terms of personal projects, right now I'm collaborating with a fellow friend of mine, Adriel Jimenez. He goes by Ghetto Sunshine on social media. We're working on a short film series. Displaying designer bags from Rene Manuel Ramos.
Interesting.
So the project's called Ra Ra Rene.
Mm.
And it's a compilation of videos, story centered around these bags that Rene designs himself.
Oh, wow.
So we shot a couple weeks ago. Our next shoot is this upcoming weekend. So definitely busy with that. Also worked on a short film with my friend Michael T. It's called his third short film, June 22nd. I've been the producer, assistant director on both of these projects. So definitely very hands-on and very involved in the process.
It sounds like you're busy, and I like that. Especially in that, you know, in that industry,
yes.
You want to stay always involved so that you can grow and network. And I know it's very important when it comes to the film industry. Now, let me ask you, if some young youth that's listening to us right now and they say to themselves, you know, I want to get myself involved within the film industry or show business, what advice would you give to them? In terms of how to get started, perhaps they don't have money to go to college and they still want to pursue this career, what would be a good advice that you would give to them that they just want to start within the industry and they don't know where to start?
Yeah.
What can you say to them?
One thing I will say is it is a very lucrative and expensive industry to get into, whether it's joining the union or camera or equipment or, you know, just getting your stuff shown at festivals. Like, there is expenses left and right.
Especially when it comes to equipment, right?
Yes, especially.
I can only imagine.
Which, you know, for someone like myself that doesn't come from a, you know, well-off background at all, you know?
Yes.
From just a working-class kid from the Dominican Republic, right? Like, for me, that's just been a huge challenge, you know? Because I've been in spaces where I'm working with people that have all, you know, that have access to a lot of this.
Yes.
Incredible equipment and, you know, resources and networking. But what I will say is that you have to be relentless. You have to want it enough. You know, just because I can't buy the most high-end camera doesn't mean that my work is not good enough, that I'm not going to do everything I can to network and make sure I get wherever I walk in and I meet someone that I get their contact info, that I get their phone number, email, I follow up with them, you know,
mm-hmm.
get to know people, you know, see who could become a potential sponsor, a collaborator, or someone who do you want to work with next, right, on a potential project that you got going on. There's things that you can do in the meantime if you're someone that is not well off, right? Like if you don't come from a well-off background or a privileged background.
Okay.
You just have to want it enough, you know, and what I will say.
And have determination from what I'm
hearing. Yeah, determination it. And stay, you know, be accountable for staying on top of, you know, you have to be a very disciplined person and you have to be willing to pull up, you know, those late days, you know, those email blasts to be just ruthless and relentless in how much you want this. But the best way, really, is just to get in there is when you come, you know, you don't have access to resources or maybe, you know, school is not something feasible for you. It's really just doing it, you know. Get yourself, invest in a good camera setup, you know?
Yes.
Even if it's something like, even an iPhone, like, you have no idea how many movies are shot nowadays in short films and just what we have at the tip of our fingers, you know? Take advantage of whatever tools you have at your disposal and literally dissect them, get to know them to the last degree, and make the most out of it, you know, with what you have. Work with what you have and make it great. Better than what, you know, the guy with the most expensive, with the most lucrative and impressive setup looks, you know, that what they can accomplish. Do the best thing you can do.
Get creative as much as you can. Step out, you know, from what's out there already. I think that's also something that could bring you attention.
Yes.
Even with the, you know, the least amount of equipment or the least expensive equipment, if you like you said, if you really want it, you will go get it in some form or way. Now, if the audience wanted to reach out to you or work on a project with you, what would be the best contact information via email or contact cell phone or that they can reach out to you in case anybody that is listening that wants to reach out to you?
Yeah, no, for sure. You can find me anywhere on social media, online. I go by Starling the Kid. My social media handle, Twitter and Instagram, is just like that, Starling the Kid. You can reach me at thatkidstarling@gmail.com. I'm currently working on developing a website. That's going to be coming up soon in the next year is my goal. But definitely on social media, you know, by DM or email is where you can reach me. I'm always open to collaborating with people, getting to know people that have, you know, artistic visions that are similar and different from my own. I think there's extreme power in just collaborating.
Yes.
Especially something I've learned in this, being in this field, like, as an artist, like, sometimes it's really hard to you know, collaborate and for people to come together. But especially in doing this film work, like, it takes a village to make a film, you know?
That's right.
And I think that practice should apply to everything else, whether it's music, whether it's, you know, doing a community fundraising event, whether it's, you know, even networking, like helping out someone else, a friend, someone you just met. Like, hey, I'm being honest with people. If you can't help them, but you know someone else that can,
mm-hmm.
being willing to, you know, provide that information and make, you know, connect those dots and bridge, build bridges among people. I think there's always something beautiful about that. And you never really know the outcome until you do it. So hit me up.
Yeah.
Again, that Starling the Kid. And yeah, let's just get creative. Let's make it happen. Let's make a movie.
Yes. I love it. I wish you, you know, much luck in everything you do. Now, a last question before we, you know, conclude our interview. Let's see if you remember any of this, you know, any of the good stuff that Lawrence has to offer. But where are your favorite places to visit in Lawrence, Massachusetts, and why?
Definitely El Taller.
El Taller, oh Lord, everybody loves El Taller.
I literally just grew up, like,
okay.
I just grew up there, honestly.
I love the place. Like, I love their atmosphere, their decorations, everything. Just so I'm with you. I love it. Yeah, El Taller, for sure.
Definitely. Like, just that whole, that whole area of, you know, Essex Street and Common Street and Haverhill, you know, the Common Park.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Before I went to Lawrence Development Family Charter School, I went to the Oliver, like, for my first year. And I don't know why, but, like, that whole area is just very nostalgic for me. So, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, years ago, I would literally just go on walks, you know, ride my bike during the summer, you know, when the weather was good. And, you know, just to kind of remember the not the good time. I don't want to say, like, oh, the good times to sound old, but, like, kind of remember the times where I was in a different place, you know?
Yes.
Where, wow, I am miles away from where I used to be before. Like, just, that's just crazy. And I would literally just do that. Like, I love just remembering where I came from.
Me too.
And where I am today.
Yes.
And it gets me more excited about where I am going and what I'm becoming.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I heard del Taller. Well, I didn't hear. I also experienced los tostones del Taller are, like, delicious.
That's elite. That
I don't know what they have because I try to make it at home and it just doesn't come out the same.
Nah, they got a special recipe in there.
But yes, no, thank you so much. We've come to our, you know, end of our interview, and I just appreciate you taking the time. I know you're busy with all your projects and, you know, taking the time to interview with us and give some positive advice to our youth. Hopefully we get to interview in the near future.
Totally.
So you can tell us a little bit more about the projects you're working on then and the projects you've already worked on. So keep in touch. And we'll see you again in another time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Lawrence Prospera and is recorded in the multimedia room at the Sisu Center. Nuria Rivera is our host and Paul Thompson, our engineer and director, with assistance provided by young adults at the Sisu Center. Technical support provided by Tony Schumann. Our producer is Paul Heithaus. Executive producers are Jay Bartosik, Ralph Guerrero, and the Lawrence Prospera Board of Directors. Thanks to the generous support of the City of Lawrence, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts Executive Office of Health and Human Services, and the Massachusetts Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. Thank you to the New Balance Foundation, the Filene's Foundation, the United Way, the Nordson Foundation, and the Essex County Community Foundation. And a big thank you and shout out to the Maximus Foundation. Without their support, this podcast would not be possible. And lastly, a very special thanks to our guest for sharing their stories with us today.